With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. My name's Dan Kennett. And with me to discuss the 1-1 draw at home to Villa, I've got the full crew. Got my namesake, Mr. Daniel Rhodes. Evening, Rhodesy. No pressing for you this week. In fact, no pressing at all. Gags. No
pressing from Gags. He had visitors. Yeah. Unexpected visitors, let's say.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have a pressing. Yeah, Gags. Gags got about a quarter of the way through the match, and then. And then wasn't able to finish. So, unfortunately, We don't have any this week.
Yeah, I think it's at 55 presses after 15 minutes. So.
Yes.
Not much to discuss about this game, Dan, but we'll come on.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. And I got the Dynamic Sports Science to you. It's, first of all, it's Mr. Simon Brundish. Evening, Si. How was Paris?
All good.
Was it a successful trip? How did Heather get on?
It was a very boring, dull trip.
First round exit?
No, we didn't even get to play.
Didn't even get to play?
I'll tell you all about it later.
Oh, right. I thought it was a WTA tour event. Well, anyway, okay. Right. amazing. And also, we got our broadcasting live from his ivory tower. It's Dr. Phil Barter. Evening, Phil.
How we doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Pretty good. Sun's shining. It's a lovely day today.
It is.
But yes, and it was sun was shining at Anfield, actually. And it was actually quite warm on Saturday. I mean, I guess that's going to be an external factor, Si, for the game. It was quite warm.
It was. I think it was 24 pitch size.
Yes. Anyway, so before we talk about that, let's talk about those lineups and game plans, because pretty easy for us, Si, unchanged. Last week you said the new team is emerging and reaffirmed.
Yeah, full on in, same, rinse and repeat, but we got Bobby on the bench. So, like, rehearse the things that you've been practicing, and theoretically you should be better as you learn the processes and the systems and the nuances and the patterns and the sequences, and then you don't.
And Bart, coming to you on Villa, any surprises here? I mean, Emery's a manager who's given Klopp a lot of trouble down the years. Somewhat, a fair amount of trouble. Yeah.
I think he changed the fullbacks, which I think might have been them just coming back from injury. So Cash and is it Daesh or Dine, whatever, or Dinger, whatever his name is.
Luka Dean
from England. You're terrible with names.
I know, sorry, he is. Yeah, definite dyslexia with names.
Yeah. Definitely. And then Kamara came into midfield. So I think they dropped out. So they basically push McGinn up to support Watkins. And I think not bulked out the midfield a little bit, doing a disservice because they did a pretty good job of us. But he went with five in midfield rather than having a sort of a pseudo three and a two, which he did against Spurs. So, yeah, a different setup. I think that's in because as you said, he's pretty good, that man. The manager's very tactically sets up for different games. So
he said this, didn't he, Phil? He said it was specifically for this game.
Yeah. Yeah, two very wide players as well in this game. Had, is it Leon Bailey on one wing?
Yeah.
It might have been Ramsey on the other. So without losing strength in the midfield, which Kamara came into. So, yeah, it was interesting because normally teams we see is the NFL come and play five at back, whereas he played five in midfield as a line. So, it was, yeah, it was interesting setup.
Yeah, and he played three out-and-out centre-mids, didn't he? And plus another one in Ramsey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was still wide, though. Ramsey was still wide-ish for a centre-mid.
Yeah, he's a good, yeah, I know, yeah, he's a good player, Ramsey. Good, yeah, player, he is, yeah, a good player. Yeah.
Good player.
I think Ramsey, yeah, was there to block up Trent space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they basically set up to block Trent space, and then Bailey was there to block the pass into CJ.
And it did it well.
It did it well.
Right, so that's enough of this game.
Yeah, done.
That's so, Rosie, then, before we go into the match summary, let's talk about probably the most important stat of the game, time wasting.
Yeah.
The time wasting. So, the Brentford game was the lowest ball in play time of any Liverpool match in the Premier League era ever. It was 43-10 in play on the Y Scout data, and Michael Reid from Opta confirmed that it was the lowest ever. So lower than Pulis, lower than Deitch, lower than Warnock. And this game actually managed to beat the Brentford game in one regard, didn't it, Rosie? Incredibly.
Yes, it was. There was a bit more ball in play time, so it was 48 and a bit minutes. But because there was 108 minutes total play time because of the added time in each half, this led to 60 minutes and 16 seconds of dead time in a football match. It was 57:04 in the Brentford game. Yeah. And it was 50:35 in the Newcastle at home game.
Wow.
Where we first did a time wasting
analysis. Over an hour of dead time.
Over an hour of this game was dead time, yeah.
So.
And they had more possessions than us, which was similar to the Brentford one. So they had 109 to our 106. And in the Brentford game, Brentford had 90 to our 88.
So are we seeing here, how much of this is circumstantial with injuries, VAR stoppages, etc., and how much of it is a deliberate strategy from our opponents, Rosie, in your opinion?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
And I think it's quite a controversial one. If I was the opposition manager coming to Anfield, I would do exactly the same if I had inferior players. I would try and take as much time out of the game. I would encourage fouls and shithousery and 45-second throw-ins and keepers taking as much time as they can. I know it's cheating, but if you can get away with it, I'd encourage it if I was the opposition manager. So I think a lot of it was that. But because it's not the opposition's manager to implement the rules, it's the IFB and the PGMOL, because they're not enforcing it early on in the game, because they just seem to allow it in the first half regardless. Nothing happens in the first half. You rarely, if ever, see a booking for time wasted in the first half. And let's be honest, if you watch the City game again, when we were 1-0 up Anfield, we did it. Okay, so we time wasted to try and kill the game off. So we've done it as well in a certain context, but we have never done it to the level that Brentford did. And Villa took it to a new level in this game in the second half, where they basically just every single foul that they were given, they were falling over. I think a guy or two of their players headed the ball and went down for a head injury, which is an absolute legendary one considering the new rules about concussions. So it's hard for the ref to do anything there.
Yeah.
They punished Konsa after 6 minutes of treatment, he had to go off the pitch and he ran back on before the keeper kicked the ball into play.
Yeah.
But they also added 10 minutes on, and Villa wasted about 7 minutes of that.
Some go in that. So last summer...
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So last summer, right, there was an initiative from the... It was in the you know, the gap between seasons. There was stuff from the Premier League that they were unhappy with last season's average ball and play time. I think it was 53 minutes across for a Premier League match or something like that.
And in the World Cup, Dan, I think it was 59.50.
Yeah, and there was talk of they want to do more to increase ball and play time across the league. And that was the one that I did that. I saw that in the July sometime when they were talking about the multi-ball system. That was one of the reasons I did bring the multi-ball system back. But obviously that has failed miserably this season. So boys, what do we think? Do we think this the Premier League's going to look at this again?
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
Time wasting generally and trying to increase the value, basically increase the value for money for fans.
I think it depends what their motivation is. I mean, they've got so many things still out in terms of refereeing for the next season. This might not be a priority for them. I agree with you. I think it brings back, they had the big discussion about a 60 minute shot clock, wasn't it?
Countdown, stop clocks. Yeah. 30 minute halves, yeah.
Which sounds more logical now when you were working up in a favour of two of the last games at Anfield where they basically tried to kill the game. But I think anything Villa did differently, they didn't try and win it on set pieces, did they? They still tried to play in the time they had the ball. But I think for me, it just comes back to a lot. We've said this time and time again this season. If the referees just applied the rules, the game would be a lot better.
Yeah. Si, do you think any chance that the Premier League's going to look at this again this summer?
No, I think it's got to come down from FIFA. Kalina already, he said 3 weeks ago that he's going to put a serious intervention in for referees to apply the actual rules because goalkeepers are allowed 6 seconds with the ball in their hand. And what he's seeing this season is over and aboard anything that should be acceptable. So if he says so, and they're not listening right now, I think he's going to put a serious intervention in. The Premier League thinks they have different rules than every other country in Europe because, you know, Brexit and shit. I don't know, but it won't come from the Premier League 100%. The Premier League won't change their rules. It will have to come from FIFA because the Premier League refuse to have they just go for this one club, one vote bullshit. So the big clubs don't have any extra say, and there are 17 clubs in the league who like to waste time against the big clubs because the big clubs have an advantage when the ball's in play.
It comes from IFAB, though, doesn't it? Not FIFA. IFAB have to change the rules, which is quite an interesting one because I think England, Scotland and Wales or something have one individual vote, and then it's a weird level of votes from the rest of world football. But yeah, it comes from IFAB. That's who changes the rules, and they do a review every season. And then FIFA implement their own rules based on IFAB, but also can implement their own rules in FIFA competitions, but not force other authorities to do it. So they can't make UEFA do it in the Champions League. Obviously, they can't make the Premier League do it in the Premier League. So it's such a weird situation for rules implementation in football that you've got a disparate level of authority on it. Whereas in other sports, you've just got...
Definite line, isn't it, in other sports? But it's also... The Premier League, I think, hide behind it as well. Because Haino Howard Webb was on the Monday Night Football talking about the audio, wasn't he? And he got asked a question about... Which was great, but he got asked why they couldn't do it live, and he said straight away, well, IFAB don't allow us to do that. But yet, when it comes to another rule, it's like, oh, no, we have our own interpretation of that.
Yeah.
I think they pick and choose their argument depending on what they want the game to look like in the Premier League, personally.
And I think storytelling is very much part of the...
For sure.
Part of their rules.
Yeah. Has to be a good story. It can't be... The decision can't be a media, whatever you want to call it.
But they also want the Premier League to have different story. The story that they're selling is that the Premier League is different to the other leagues, that we are more exciting, we have more physical play, it's more end-to-end. So, they don't want to be the same as everybody else, to actively.
Yeah. And that was a key rule, wasn't it, Dan and Ty and Phil at the start of the season? Didn't they say that they're going to let play flow more and give less fouls and things, which is supposed to make...
Which they have done.
Which they have done to detriment of players.
But then on the flip side of that, if you allow all the time wasting and more... And there shouldn't be more fouls if you let him play go, but this, in our recent games, we've seen a level of fouls from us which have been mind-blowing.
It was 8 bookings in this match.
Yeah, compared to the amount of possession we're getting against teams, I think it was Leicester and Brentford, and I think Brentford had twice as many fouls and we had twice at 60-odd% possession. It was just like... And then Moore doesn't get anything.
I had a 20-minute chat
like,
today.
What are your rules?
I had a 20-minute chat today with the boss of the referees, so I'll tell you all about it later.
Howard Webb.
I do think you have to just look at the timeline to that without getting too tin hat on. No. So the last two games you quoted, the fouls at Anfield, right? They're post an incident Klopp had with the officials, aren't they? The Brentford and Villa games are post the Spurs game, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I don't want to get too conspiracy theory, but things have changed a bit since then.
Yeah. Let's not, though.
No.
No, because I disagree with you for a start. I don't think there's anything. I would happily, I wouldn't even have to play devil's advocate to argue with you on that one, Phil. I'm not having that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Right, so that's enough time wasting. Rosie, let's do the match summary. How bad was it compared to, we've had some bad ones this season, right? How bad was this?
Well, it's interesting because we don't count penalties in the non-penalty So we did manage to edge that, 0.91 to 0.62. But they had 10 shots to our 6. We had 7 shots in the box to their 4, 5 shots on target to their 3. And we had 1 big chance to their 3. But we did, and this is such a weird one, 52 touches in their box to 10. Now, I had a look at our home matches this season to see how bad one our attacking performance was. So at home against Fulham, we had 0.92. So that was pretty much just as bad. And that was the worst this season. So
Fulham was the worst, was it?
Fulham was the worst, and we edged 1-0, but we did have a penalty in that. So it's the flip side. You know, Villa had a penalty in this, and that had taken them up to 1.4. But in that game, we had 0.92, and 2 big chances to 1. Our worst game this season was, we had let the Chelsea one, the 0-0, when they had 4 big chances to our 0.
Was it a minus 2 expected goal difference on that game? Something like that?
Weirdly, it was just minus 0.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But that was our most touches in the box at home this season. We've had 2 previous games.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were thinking about Chelsea away. Sorry, that was the minus 2 goal.
That was minus 2. The Chelsea at home was 0.05. But we've had 52. We had 52 in this game. We had 51 against Arsenal at home, and 51 against Bournemouth at home in the 9-0. Interestingly, the Arsenal game, that 4.64. And that is including the penalty, was our highest ever XG under Klopp. But obviously we take off the pens, so it's...
Mm.
But yeah, this was a very strange one. I'd love to speak to... I think the key to this game is, we played the first half, we conceded 3 big chances, including the penalty, before anything happened in our favour. One was the Gakpo foul, Ming should have been sent off. The Hendo trip should have been a pen, I think. We'll come on to that. But we still didn't create a big chance until injury time. So the key is, why did we have 52 touches in the box? Why did Salah have 21 touches in the box? His highest this season. 20 was the previous best against Arsenal. And we still...
Just on that, by the way, Rhodesy, I just need to reiterate, the 20 touches in the box was the highest by any player in any Premier League match this season, let alone a Liverpool player. So I presume Salah has now got the most. This is now the most in... But you wouldn't have known it, would you, really? When you watch it, yeah, when you're watching it live, you wouldn't realise that was the most touches any player had in the box all season.
I was flabbergasted by the fact we had 52 touches in the box after watching this game again. It didn't feel like it watching it, did it? Didn't feel like it got into the box. Or not. Just a quick one before we bring Sai in. We have conceded 44 big chances at home this season, which is the fourth worst.
Of all teams?
Of all teams, yeah.
Well, Sai, 21 touches in the box. That's a lot. What happened with Mo? How did you read it?
They let him. And then if you look at the areas that he touched the ball, there was only one. He had one touch inside
past the 6 yard box. Yeah.
Well, inside the perimeter of the lines of the 6 yard box and the penalty spot.
Mm.
So, yeah, they were all outside to the right of the 6 yard box.
Yes, they were. Yeah. So they're in the periphery of the wide right of the box. Yeah.
Yeah. They're entering the hot zone, which would be great if there was somebody in the box to make a tap in. But until the 80th minute, there wasn't. So, what can you do?
Is it a case of Villa allowing that and us not, you know, because they had so many men in the box and we didn't?
I think. Since we changed formation, this is the least stress we have caused on our position structure.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
So they caused us stress and we didn't cause them any. And that's like it's been early in the season. But then we managed to turn it around with 20 to go.
So,
and I wouldn't even be convinced had Mings been sent off whether it would have changed, to be honest. Because they're really well off.
So, Sai, why didn't we cause them stress? Did Villa have a good tactical plan which neutered us, or did we just have a collective bad day at the office in terms of player performance level?
I think a little bit of both. They strategically set up in a way that no one set up against us in this system to nullify Trent a little bit and to nullify what Trent was going to do with the ball and... to nullify the connection between Trent and Virgil, which is how Trent gets the ball in opportune moments to make the quick pass. But I think here's the non-statistical analysis of this. I think it was a very emotional day. And I wonder if Bobby leaving has, and the whole pomp and ceremony that was going to come with that, and how big, like even the fans have built this up last week, and it's building to this big emotional crescendo. There are many lads in that room that had never been in a Liverpool changing room without Bobby Firmino. And I just wonder if it just overwhelmed them a little bit. They're humans.
Yeah. But, is this a taster of what's to come next season with teams trying to nullify Trent a bit, set up to, well, limit his involvement and then maybe a struggling, who else is going to be doing the playmaking? Or is it just too soon to know?
That's a bit early. I mean, the thing from the average positions is we're all shunting out to the right. The only players on the left are Robbo, Jones and Diaz. And everybody else is on the right. And if you look at the touchdowns, it's all in and around on top of each other. You know, Henderson's on top of Mo, Cody's over there, whereas Cody normally occupies the centre area, he's not. He's more dominant over towards the right half space. Now, whether that's been a set up, I'm not sure. Maybe something to do with that, the shuffle them over there, but we haven't got their off ball, so I wouldn't know whether they funneled us over to that. Maybe it is that sort of five in front and having a couple of outlets with Bailey and Watkins on the counter with Begin trying to join up, maybe. I think Si might be right. There is a bit of an emotional thing, but I mean, even the when we had possession, so normally when we've got sterile possession, we still string together sort of, you know, 20 plus passing moves.
Yeah.
We're up at an average of 10 in this game. The only time we get anywhere near our usual levels of, and that's 15, it's just before half time. And then in and around the 70 minute mark. Well, that's just not, that's really hasn't been us for this run. Even in the games where we've like Leicester away, we had sterile possession for long periods. We still clocked up the passes and touches to keep the ball moving. This one, we just didn't.
You weren't impressed with the shape, were you, Bartz?
Not at all. The shapes, considering we'll be banging on about this lovely box we've been having, this is not a box.
It had the box been jumped on, so it was kind of squashed flat.
Yeah, I was going to say it's squashed to the right. You've got Fab basically where Trent's been for the past seven games, and then Trent is so far over it, and Hendo is doing his usual stuff, and then Cody's back to being unconnected. Or one connection with Hendo, which is not what you want. You don't want Cody connecting with your worst outfield player. So, yeah, it could also answer our question of how long can you go carrying a player?
Well, we'll come on to that, yeah.
We'll come on to that.
But just final one for you, Phil, is that do you think that the front five is not meant to be a front five, it's meant to be an end, it's meant to be depth?
It was flat. It was so flat in this game, it's unbelievable.
Should the players know,
work it out?
Should there be more smarts on the pitch from our boys?
Potentially. The only thing I would say is Villa pushed their lineup further than they had done previously. So they looked a compact play. So us pushing our lineup, it's then very difficult to get depth from our front five because Villa, but they still should be smarter. Jones was trying to do it. Jones was dropping off, trying to pick up and do it. But you still had Diaz had a massively off day for me on that. His decision making wasn't right. Hendo doing his thing, and Mo was in his right position. But Cody was also high as well. So, yeah, they probably should pick up, right, I need to come in here to get the ball.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, as I said, it doesn't help when the opposition have pushed their back line up higher than they normally do. So they're trying to condense play.
Anyone else want to come in on anything else to do with our build-up?
Yeah. We our midfielders went forward too early in the phase of play. Hendo was getting right. Let me just preface this. I think Mo was terrible. Mo had a bad game. In this game, Mohamed Salah had one of the worst games of the season. People don't talk about him and Bobby's connection, his and Bobby's connection, but they're the third greatest combination Liverpool have ever had. It's a big deal. This is one of his best mates in the world that's leaving. And I think there's emotional issue going on. Issue's not right, but he was emotional in this game. So it's hard to be at your heightened state of stimulation and focus when this occurs. So he didn't have a good game. Right. Jordan Henderson was a fucking abomination. And that's playing with 10 men is...
Tell us what you really think, Si.
Playing with 10 men is really hard in the formation and the system that we need, because we need players to be occupying space at the right time. And he went too early. Gakpo wasn't dropping in quick enough because he'd gone too early, because he was doing his job. He wasn't trying to just make up for Henderson. And Diaz had his biggest street ball game since he's been back. So he was getting attracted to the ball at the wrong times. That's it. Yeah. So the shape is what allows Trent the possession, like unopposed possession, but also he always has two vertical movers away from him. So if he wants to release the ball quickly, they're there and they break the offside trap. And we were going before he got the ball. So they were already high and there was nowhere for him to pass to. So that's the problem. We need to stress them vertically. So you've got two dropping, two going, or three going, or ideally you've got two dropping, one staying to occupy the space, basically to set the gradient, set how deep that they go. So they might push up to get them offside. But if they're pushing up to get them offside, the two runners are going to go and beat them beat their offside trap. But so you can have one static and have two runners off him, which yeah. Trent's feeding. Trent made some beautiful balls, left foot, right foot, first time, long ball, 30-40 yards with huge spin on them. But our players were too far away from them for them to work. That was the problem. And it came about because the spacing was off and the timing of that spacing was terrible. And when one of your centre midfielders loses possession 14 times, not without passing the ball, that is a terrible thing.
We also ended up chipping out of it about four all the time, so didn't we? Like yeah, the number of chip passes. Because there's no other option. It was just like, right, I just didn't get over the top then.
Which is fine if Jota's coming in off the left. It's not exactly. Fine if Diaz is coming in off the left, because Diaz doesn't want to run in behind, even though he did in the last game when we scored from it. But that's not his game.
It's also not great for Cody doing it, because Cody hasn't got the pace as Nunes has to get away from his man. Do you know what I mean? So it's,
I don't know. Cody's fast, but that's still Cody's fast and given credit for. But it's not his game to go running away from people unless he's got the ball.
So are you saying that with a more dynamic attacking eight on the right hand side, then it might have worked because the players were still making the runs, but because someone was losing the ball so often in such a crucial position in crucial times against a team that's well organised, that even though we were getting touches in the box, those crucial passes when there is space and a runner, so like you say, it should have been Jota instead of Diaz, when there is space and a runner from the left and Gakpo making those runs and Salah getting into the box, that's what we needed. But because Henderson had a minus 10, what was it? Minus 10 possession.
Minus 10 possession control in what, 68 minutes?
Yeah. That's what cost us.
He also occupied the same space as Mo, right? So Mo's not having a great game.
And too early. It's too early. That's the thing. It's too early. You can occupy a zone, which is absolute. You can get into a zone. So what we need is, we need the WM. We need people to be in those zones, but we constantly need people to be leaving those zones and being replaced.
Yeah.
So there was no rotation. There was just a run and a stand.
Yeah.
Which is easier to defend against.
Did you see they tried
to build through?
Did you see they tried the back post ball again move?
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But because Hendo had gone too high, there was a player blocking the ball that Mo was trying to make to the back post. It was like a second half. Did it twice. And Mo's looking at him going, what are you doing? It's exactly the same play we played for the last 7 games, and CJ's on the end of it, but the ball got blocked.
I just don't get, personally, my thing, Si, is that he ends up so often in what you would call like a centre-forward position or pseudo-centre-forward position, and he's got 0 goals and 2 assists all season. He's like, why are we putting the player who's got such a limited output into such central attacking positions? I just do not understand it on any level.
The only explanation I can have, the only reasoning behind it is that he has historically been a good presser. So if we're going to lose the ball, it's handy having him there to go and win it back.
Yeah, but Gakpo and Salah can do that, surely, yeah.
Yeah.
What counter to this, guys, is Salah had 44 touches in the final third and Trent had 28. That's a lot, but because Henderson had 23, are you saying that link up between those two, even though it's kind of on the periphery of what we say is like peak Liverpool, that's what we need, those involvements of those two. Is it because he was breaking it up, or because he was getting in the way, or
he was too? So a couple of things, right? We talked about last week about the space that Mo is getting because a player's running away from him, basically. So Mo is getting to is getting much more one-on-ones much more frequently since the system change, and the speed at which in the build-up he gets the ball. So he's getting the ball in an earlier phase, in an earlier part of the sequence of our build-up phase.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in this game. It was much more like it was early in the season. Pass the ball out to Mo once they've got three players dropped in on him. And Henderson wasn't going far enough away from him or going to him and away from him, which would be the ideal, to attract a player away from him. He was just being unmarked and they were just going to mark Mo instead.
That could also then be smart there, right? And just leaving Hendo. Why would you
it's
mark
smart,
Hendo?
It's smart for Villa.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Villa was smart in going, why are we going to mark Hendo?
Yeah.
There's no point.
Because 23 touches in the final third when you've only when you're having 40 total is, I know you only have 6 or 9 minutes, but that's, and I thought we were better after he went off, but that's a huge like ratio in terms of
59% touches.
Just one thing I want to bring in here, right? Because you know we do need to there are some key points to look at in this match. One of them is the Villa move that led to the Villa penalty, because the move breaks down in our right, inside right channel that we just talked about. Really nice Gagan from Villa. They get the ball into McGinn, who puts a really good ball around the corner, first time into negative transition, surprise, surprise, into the space where Trent is not, because it's negative transition. Again, Bartz, nice play from Villa, but again, something that we're going to see a lot of next season, right?
Yeah, they are going to try to exploit that area. I mean, their pass match, they occupied that area as predicted. They put Watkins over to that side so that he could exploit if they can win that ball. As you said, they won it nicely. I think Mo lost it, didn't he?
Yeah. They had three. There would have been three Gagans on that one if Rhodes had been collecting the Villa one.
Yeah. But then this kind of is a symptom of what Si's just said. The ball got to Mo too slowly. So therefore, there was opportunity for three of them to nick the ball off Mo. If we get the ball quicker to Mo, he's one-on-one, there's less opportunity for him to nick it and launch a counter down that side.
Mm.
So I think some of this is us playing to the hands. But they cleared for that particular opportunity. Yeah, they nicked it off Mo, played to McGinn, who plays it first time straight around the corner. I mean, I think it's that one, into Watkins, who goes straight in into the channel. And Konate, as Si said, he's very good at putting out his own fires. But this time he started a fire and he couldn't put it out. So it was not a challenge you need to. I think you probably could have stood him up. Didn't need to challenge him. And then we got lucky that he missed the penalty.
Rosie. Come to Si, sorry. What did you see? Any thoughts on Ibu? I think I agree. I don't think he should have dived in.
No.
He just made a mistake.
Yeah. Villa.
I actually don't get why it wasn't offside though, because it looked offside and it looked like it never got checked.
Right, okay, wow. I missed that one. On the Villa pen, how much of the miss is Ali guessing right, and he guesses right straight away when Watkins is in the run up? How much does that? Is it, or was it too soon? Is it? Does it all happen so quickly? It's not a factor.
My feeling is my wife said the exact same thing, that it's the opposite of what Mo did. It's just the opposite side. He was just aiming right for the corner. He missed.
Okay.
He opened his body shape too much, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think the keeper had any say on this at all.
Okay, fair enough. So the Hendo non-penalty shortly afterwards, what do we think? But
I genuinely thought this was more of a penalty than the Fulham one. He genuinely does contact his leg.
Yeah.
He if that's outside the box, it's a foul.
Yeah.
Like he genuinely does clip Hendo. Does Hendo fall over as a referee would give him a penalty? Probably not. He's not really good at that, but for me, it was a foul.
Does Paul have any, Paul Tompkins have any theories on why English player, Captain Henderson isn't getting pens either?
I don't know. Yeah, no, not in this game. He tends to not do the individual analysis. But yeah, he was just tripped. It just looked like he was tripped.
Yeah.
So it was no yellow card. It was there was nothing on the no foul given on the field, and there was nothing. And VAR checked it and waved play on effectively. Yeah,
apparently so. Yeah,
yeah. And then shortly after that, the Tyrone Mings assault on Cody Gakpo. I mean,
you're not going to do their goal.
Oh, sorry. The goal was before the red card, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, yeah. Card check. Sorry. Yeah. Go on. Do the goal. Do the goal.
It comes from their throw-in on the right-hand side, on our right.
Like it's a fourth phase, isn't it?
It's a fourth phase. It's like a throw-in. Yeah. We clear the first header.
Yeah.
The second header. Then the second header only is important because Robbo plays Watkins on. Anyway, by the by. Hendo misses a header, so they put it back in. Kanate clears that header. Then there's no one pick up the loose ball. It gets played out wide. And then... Bailey, I think it is. He whips the ball into the
Louise wins the two headers from Virgil's clearances, puts them back in as well, and then he gets the cross in.
And you've got the guy we said was really good, Jacob, isn't it? Ramsey.
It's a lovely ball and finish, though.
Yeah, it is. It's just we shouldn't just take four times for us to clear a ball.
I agree.
Yeah. That's just like we've got 2 sixes and yet they still pick a loose ball up on the edge of the box. How has that been allowed to happen?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just can't get it. I was watching it back to the game today and I was like, yeah, I know from my sins, I thought I just watched that rather than think about work. But
Phil, I watched it about four times and it's interesting because they do it from the perspective of our defensive line and you've got Virgil and Trent. Moving up, moving back, moving up, moving back, moving up, moving back. And then they move up for the fourth one. And then Ramsey gets just like ghosting behind Trent at the back. But I think the cross and finish is excellent from Villa, but we should have dealt with it earlier.
We should have dealt with it earlier. Probably on the first header, we should have dealt with it. We should, when ZBVD wins the first header, should have cleared it out from there and just cleared. We didn't.
To be fair, he does head it about 20 metres.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is it's the second person. Like, yeah. We allow them to win that ball.
Done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which we'd got pretty good at doing. We just played Brentford, for God's sake.
Is this goal a good example of Villa causing us stress by repeatedly putting the ball back into the danger zone? So, like, maybe if that was the first phase of play, we could all blame Trent a lot more than if it was the fourth phase of play.
Yeah, but I honestly don't blame Trent at all. People get caught out because it's on the back post and it looks like Trent. But if you actually watch the game, the Kanate is decided to pick up the guy that's offside. He's his man, which leaves a man right behind him in the middle of the goal. That's who Trent was had his eye on, but knowing there's a dude behind him at the same time. So Trent's doubling again, and he had no help from midfield. He's between a rock and a hard place at that point. And the key is not Trent. The key is the lad in front of him didn't jump to head the goddamn ball. And it would have been a head height at most, not even jumping height for Ibu to have headed that ball clear.
Well, he turns his back on it, didn't he, sorry, as well?
It was like, he thought he was going behind him and that's it. And it was absolutely headable from Ibu.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyrone Mings... have we had any explanation from the Pogmol about why this wasn't a red card?
No, you've only got Dale's Monday morning VAR thing, haven't you?
But, what did he say?
What?
Something along the lines of the referee had deemed it wasn't a red card offence, so VAR couldn't overturn and Mings got the ball, got a touch on the ball. I don't know. I was so like...
It was intentional aggressive.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, it was nice of Cody to take his top off for his OnlyFans account, wasn't it? You know.
It's scored.
No, before that, he did it. He stripped off.
Because it was blood coming from his...
He was showing the ref the stud marks down his torso.
Which is a decent set of evidence.
I don't know about you boys, but I thought that was a red card.
Yeah, Si?
Thing I never get about fouls, right, is it, about rules, is there's a thing like dangerous, like you can't...
Dangerous foul play, yeah. That's
dangerous foul play, right? So you are, what you're doing is you're saying don't stick your finger in a socket because you might get electrocuted. In this, don't do something that is dangerous foul play because you might rip somebody's abdomen open. Well, he did. Yeah. But I don't understand why you've got the evidence of the thing that actually happened. Why are you giving people reds and yellows for stuff that might have happened when something actually did happen? And that's the outcome you're trying to avoid. So it makes no sense. It's happened plenty of times this season where somebody's been kicked in the head or done or had an almost leg breaker and didn't get sent off and stuff. I don't understand the parameters of the rules. They make no sense to me anymore.
To be fair, Jota didn't get sent off against Spurs.
Nope.
No, but neither did Skip.
Yeah, that was a shocker. That was a disgraceful one.
You know, this is the first time Cody actually went in for a challenge.
That's what we're saying.
So was Haaland's, though. Haaland's earlier. And there's so many instances through the season where it's been like...
Is it dangerous? Yes.
Yeah.
Injured him. The language of, is it violent, right? That's seeped in somewhere and it's not applied to all things. Like, if you raise your hand, you get sent off.
Isn't it serious foul play? The
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Right. Endangering the opponent, right, which this did, because clearly he studded him in the chest.
It's removed any ambiguity. It literally hurt him.
But I don't mind the ref not giving an instant red card, but I don't understand why VAR didn't tell the ref to go.
He was last man too.
Yeah, he was last man. I was going to say the other thing was, why is it not red from that? Yeah,
that's his job. That's the VAR's job, and then the ref
wouldn't have overturned it anyway. Because he checked the monitor on our goal, our offside goal.
Yeah, we don't know that, and we'll come to that. But I think he might have done, had he seen this in slow motion.
Wait, I think the point is, like Si just said, he was also last man. So, like, is it not a case that he's red? That's a red card anyway.
Yep.
For a professional foul.
Yeah. Well, it is. But
it is. I mean, it's the only time Cody actually showed a bit of oomph to compete and go and have a ball like that, and he gets chopped down in half. But
so you think it was denial of a goal scoring opportunity?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. That's
20 yards from goal. There's no one else getting near him. He's dead centre. For me, next touch he's having it. Next two touches as a shot.
For me, it's a definite red card either way, but yeah.
I think it's a red card. I mean, whatever you want to talk about.
The argument that it should have been this possibility for two possible instances of red card, yeah.
The only thing they could say is they sometimes say it's too far out to be a denial of goal scoring opportunity. Well,
so there was 80 minutes of stoppage time in that first half. And we must have a total of four shots, Rhodesy, in that first half. It was one of the worst halves of the season, wasn't it? Most frustrating.
In terms of our attacking output, it was the worst half of our season at Anfield.
Not even 0.2 XG, was it?
I think we had a 0.4. I was discussing again. When was the Salah pen against Fulham? Was that in the first half?
Yeah, first half.
Yeah.
Well, we're not including pens, so yeah.
Yes.
Alongside that, 0.2.
Okay. Okay. Right. Now, one thing that the Pogmol have put out an explanation about is our disallowed goal. So, am I right? That happened?
I haven't seen this, Dan.
I'll
be interested to see this.
They said because the defender's touch was inadvertent, it was correctly ruled offside.
They put it out by Twitter 10 minutes after it happened as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
From Stockley Park?
From the Premier League's official account.
So they said because the touch was inadvertent?
Yeah, the referee deemed it inadvertent.
Yeah. So my question to you guys is that in the Champions League final last year, Real had a goal disallowed just before half time. It was Benzema, wasn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. The inadvertent touch. Yeah, but that was way, way, way more inadvertent than this one.
For sure, because that was part of a tackle, wasn't it? Fabian Canate collided and knocked the ball through.
Yeah.
This, the guy moves his leg towards the ball.
And he's about 3 metres away from the ball coming to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I mean, I've heard some, I think it might have been Dad again saying because he shinned it, it's not classed as being controlled over. I just, if he doesn't do that touch, Canate scores.
Right. Can I just say, and I'm not playing devil's advocate here, I can see the subjectiveness of this one. I thought it was I wasn't sure it was a conscious reaction. I guess it's kind of moving. But I asked a referee, a qualified referee, what he thought. And he said he thought it was intentional. But on the referee's WhatsApp group that he's on, with about 70 officials on there, he said it was split. So
they're not clear cut at all then. Okay.
So the analysis between qualified refs was split. So for me, this was one where if that split between people who understand the rules, and because it's subjective, I can see why it wasn't. Now, I would expect it to be given for us and the opposition.
So
yeah, that's fair.
Looked intentional to me.
Based on what your mate said about his WhatsApp group of refs, that sounds to me exactly what's happened. Stockley Parker said, you need to have a look at this. And then the guys, because it's a subjective decision, he said, no, actually, I'm happy with Michael. So,
yeah. But his on-field call was a goal.
Oh, was it?
He gave the goal.
He gave the goal.
Exactly, Phil.
Oh, sorry, it was the other way around. So he gave the goal, right? And then he was asked to review it on... They just have a look at this, right? Sorry,
I didn't think was the protocol. I thought offsides didn't go to the monitor.
It's not about the offside, is it? It's about the defender's reaction. Mm. So it's not an offside decision. It was the defensive.
Maybe. I think you're right, though, Rosie. I think if this had been given, no one, like, everyone would have gone, yeah, right, let's go. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it's one of those
100%. Which he gave.
Yeah, the referee actually gave it on the day. If VAR had just gone, if I would step your decision, they would have gone, all right, fair enough, 1-0, let's move on.
But this is my frustration, because he didn't ask him to go and look at the Gakpo foul.
Nah, you're right.
But then asked him to go and look at a build-up defensive action for an off that could affect the offside for the goal. Si, what do you think? Because, I mean, I'm fascinated.
I thought... for a day and a half, 100% was a penalty, and the ref was a bullshit merchant. And I think the ref was shit.
Oh,
and
it was
penalty,
you mean goal?
The offside goal. The offside.
Yeah.
The Gakpo offside.
Yeah.
You thought it was a goal?
I thought it was a goal. Until, while you were talking, I was just watching it from a different angle, and now I think it was the right decision.
Oh.
Oh.
I thought he tried to clear it and he shinned it. And in actual fact, the ball was behind him and he tried to get to it. But when you got your foot flexed, when your knee is flexed and your hip is extended behind you like that, there is no control. So there's no way you can kick a ball.
It's still an intentional movement.
It doesn't matter if it's an intentional movement. It's not a football in action. That's the difference. He didn't try to clear it. He just tried to get something on it, and that's a deflection.
Okay.
See what I mean, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was in front of him, and he tried to clear it, which is a perfectly normal action, and he missed, and he shinned it. But it wasn't. It was behind him, and he tried to kick it, but you can't. So it was a deflection.
Okay. Triple sub, Si. Thoughts on what it did to
us? Thank God.
So, yeah, Hendo.
No, it wasn't Hendo.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Then that was it. Oh, you missed
it. Was Hendo, Robert, and Diaz were off. Yeah. Bobby, CJ's already gone off. Millie, and Costa's come on.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like you said, Diaz had a pretty awful game as well, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. So what did you notice after the changes, though, in terms of...
We didn't lose the ball as much. We just had more of the pressure higher up the pitch. But it actually, to be fair, it wasn't really... We didn't really change anything until Harvey came on too. And then we had two sitters that are comfortable on the ball, and Harvey started spraying the ball around a little bit. We've discussed Harvey plenty of times, his traits, his brilliance, or his deficiencies. But in this game, when there was they backed off by that point, and they were just trying to hold on to the end of the game, having somebody else probing, trying to make progressive passes from a slightly different angle, it made people actually try to mark Harvey, which allowed Mo to be marked by fewer people at a time. And Bobby was actually in the box, resulting in this magnificent thing we call goal.
Yeah. But what you're saying there about Harvey, though, that's the role he wants to play. His best attribute is his passing. And he does like to drop in a little bit and then see the game in front of him, doesn't he, Si? And, you know, he'd be the complete opposite to what Henderson was offering for the 72 minutes he was on.
Yeah. He's not getting ahead of the ball. He's sitting in, and he replaced Fab, who was our most progressive passer in the game, Fab, incidentally. And he was just probing. He was playing in the zone that he likes to, on his right foot, wanting to play the same pass that everybody knows he wants to make. That's the thing he's good at. And Villa didn't adjust to that. And we, because of the subs, we end up having one further guy forward, and it allowed Harvey a little bit more space. It allowed Mo a little bit of space. And having 11 players on the pitch makes a difference anyway.
That's savage.
It's true though, right?
I think he was awful.
Just nailed it.
I was saying last week that he was much better than everybody else was saying, and his numbers looked good. Yes. This week is the opposite. Yeah, and this is no agenda. This is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Brutal. Anyway, so let's talk about that nice goal. That was the only thing that mattered really on this day, really, to be honest. Bobby Firmino, Liverpool legend, and Salah's 20th touch in the box of the match, Si. And what a beauty.
Mo Salah's a filthy motherfucker. That was a hell of a pass. Nobody was talking about what a wonderful pass that was. That it had so much history. How amazing is it for Bobby to score, to come on and score? How amazing is it that Mo got to set him up after robbing him of the title of the most assists under Klopp in history last week? Which I pointed out to you guys, it would have been nice if Bobby left with that too, because he's the assist. Like that's his thing, isn't it? Pressing and assists.
Yeah.
But Mo is too brilliant for that to allow that to happen. But he paid him off with a wonderful assist in this. The stats go that Bobby has 13 goals and assists at home this season, which is ridiculous. He's played 800 minutes or something.
Wow.
814 minutes, and he's got 13 goals.
65-ish minutes per goal or assist at home or something.
That's unreal.
Unbelievable. Which is only one season has he had more goal than assists.
And Anfield.
Also the first the first player to ever assist four consecutive goals on the clock.
That is quite impressive. And the last one is, this puts Mo and Bobby at the top of the Premier League combination goal combinations for Liverpool. Getting Robbie Fowler and Steve McManaman were on 24, and this puts them on 25.
Wow.
Wow.
Either way, one to the other.
One to the other, yeah. And number three is Mo and Mane.
Is it really?
And number four is Bobby and Mane.
Wow. God, it just shows you how good they were.
They were phenomenal.
More Mane who didn't like each other and too selfish with each other, yeah?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
This is Mo to Bobby. Not the other way around.
The 25 of Mo to Bobby.
25 assists of Mo to Bobby. And yeah, that's...
Oh, so it's not one to the other. So Mo's, did Mane have 24 to Mo or Mo 24 to Mane?
Mo 24 to Mane. and then Bobby 18 to Mane.
So is that 49 assists he's given Mane and Matt and Bobby?
Yeah. It was 79 assists. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, I know. That's considering he's a selfish player, right? That's phenomenal, yeah.
Just but in the league.
Who else is he going to? Who else is going to score from a low pass like Henderson? Yeah,
no one's going to get out there,
right? So one thing I do like about Bobby, when you look back at all his career numbers, it's just the ratio of goals to assists over his. He's not quite 50. He's not a 50-50. It's about 60, about 62, 38, sort of 63, 37 ratio of goals to assist, which is really unusual, isn't it, Rosie, to see that balance between somebody's goals and assists?
Isn't that a perfect ratio for a forward?
Mm. Well, a certain type of forward.
Yeah.
The
nonsense around the selfish stuff is mind blowing, and he every single season he proves it wrong because he hasn't he had what's his how many assists has he had in the last well since he was there? Isn't he the more? Isn't he
71? I think 71 assists he's had.
Hasn't he created more goals for anyone than anybody else under Klopp?
No,
Mo's just gone ahead by three.
After when he got the hat-trick in the last game.
Right, okay, there you go. And who's it?
So it's 72-74.
Ah, there you go.
And who's third, sorry?
Under Klopp assists. It will be Trent with 62.
There you go.
Then Robbo with 59 and Milner at 39.
Issue Mane doesn't get in the top five.
Mane doesn't make assists.
No, I know. It's not the perception, is it? It's the perception is that Mo's the one that doesn't assist. It's just a weird perception people have.
It is a weird perception, Phil. One of the weirdest.
Really, really strange.
To be fair, it's about Mane is just under a third of the assists per of his goals. So he scored about a third in relation to the number of goals, 105 to 32. And Mo's is about a third as well, but there are just a lot more.
And what's Bobby's ratio?
Bobby's is two thirds.
There you go.
So that's goals.
What we need from Gakpo that we're not getting.
So Bobby's got 10 goals in the Premier League this season, which is pretty phenomenal considering how little he's played in 1,144 minutes. But five of them have been in the six-yard box, including this one.
They've also been quite a lot of clutch goals, haven't they?
The Arsenal equaliser, 2-2. He got one against Bournemouth in the two against Bournemouth in the six-yard box and the 9-0. And he also got the seventh against Man United. Should say the seventh one
the
against
seventh.
Man United. The seventh goal against Man United inside the six-yard box as well.
Yeah. Fitting way to finish.
Yeah, he got two goals against Brighton in the 3-3. And the opener against Newcastle.
Bobby's got 10 big goals this season.
Yeah, it's one of the best. It's pretty much the second best goal scoring career of his Liverpool career, isn't it? Behind 17-18.
Yeah. It's just a shame you couldn't get him on the pitch more, you know?
Yeah.
For those that believed in our 5% challenge of qualifying for the Champions League this season, Newcastle have had 23 shots and Leicester have had zero tonight. So,
Newcastle absolutely dicked Brighton as well. They absolute shellacking it was.
23 shots to none.
Well, against Brighton, it was something like 30 shots to four.
Brighton rotated, didn't they, to play?
Yeah, but even so.
I know what you mean.
Shellacking.
Absolute killer.
Right.
Anyway, Europa League.
Yeah. Anyway, boys, thoughts on that question. Final question. We're going to do a season review, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Instant thoughts on not qualifying for the Champions League. Arts.
I think I said to you in the group when I get the kind of we have, you know, the front 28 games or whatever hasn't been good enough, so therefore you've got your just deserves. But for us to do the rebuild that we had, I think it would have been easier if we'd just got in Champions League. But Europa League, it is what it is. You know, we're in that competition. We'll go and rebuild as we can. We go down to the next level of player to recruit and you go from there, really. Yeah, it's disappointing, but it's been a horrendous season. So to get any sort of European football, considering we were, 16th at one point, with some of the defensive metrics that are just unbelievably bad.
And to be fair, at the start of April, after watching the Man City game, and the Chelsea game,
none of us thought we'd have a chance.
No.
And as it turns out, we said very not long ago, I think we'd be 3 points short, and it has turned out that we just won. But the Bournemouth defeat for me was when it completely went. But if we'd won that, it's just that we're just a little bit too far out from that game.
Yeah, especially with the game after the 7-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you win that, you'd now be sitting there going, it's the last weekend of the season, all to play for, whereas we didn't, and we've always been a little bit too far back.
Dan, huge, huge structural deficiencies in departments across the board. Off the pitch, which is obviously going to lead to on-the-pitch failures.
Mm.
We looked as bad as we've ever been under Klopp at certain times this season. The Bournemouth game was a particular nadir. Like you say, the Man City-Chelsea combo there, those two games where I think we were -7 or -8 chances over two games against rivals. The Madrid two-legged performance. But looks like a little bit of a corner turned. Looks like we might be getting some structure back in place. Gordon come back in, a director of football in name. We'll see how that goes. A tactical approach that, as you said, was not a strategy, but has kind of worked. But now we might need to adapt that again if teams adopt what Villa have done. We didn't deserve top four. We're not going to get it. Europa League is about our level this season.
Si, instant thoughts on not qualifying for the CL?
Yeah, I'm resigned to it. I don't care.
You don't care?
Okay. I would just like to preface that as much as it makes my life more difficult Thursdays and Sundays, the scheduling is just a bullshit misnomer. It's no difference between Wednesdays and Saturdays.
The big difference is because the fans can't go out to the game and have their Saturday night afterwards. That's the big difference. That's why they all moan. Yeah.
Is it? But it's, if you're in the Championship, you play Saturday, Tuesday every goddamn
week. Yeah.
And it's the same.
I just thought we could get Si on the pods now.
So congratulations on your promotion, Si.
Yeah, thanks.
Are we allowed to announce that? Are we allowed to say that? Mm-hmm. So you're basically going to be playing games in... Your team's been promoted as well, right? Derby Ladies?
No, we're not allowed to be promoted. The stupid structure of you're not allowed to be within a set number of league divisions.
So you won the league, but you can't be promoted. Wow, okay.
Exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. Wow. We won the league unbeaten and we can't be promoted. And
Invincibles.
Yeah, what can you do? So we have to stay in the same league and beat up the teams again.
But you got a promotion, so well done, Si. You're basically sporting director slash head of academy something there.
But we get to, we still get to train and play at the same time. So,
yeah.
But in Liverpool just moved to match. that's the thing.
Yes. So we might have more of a challenge to get Si on next season. But
I'll be on, but I just won't have seen the games.
Yeah.
Be flying blind. You just count the numbers.
Wow, that'll give an interesting perspective.
Can I just add, we're talking about the goals and Bobby, right? And you mentioned the chances, the goals scored from inside the box.
Inside the 6-yard box.
Exactly, right? So Bobby in his limited minutes has had the most chances inside the 6-yard box this season for Liverpool with 9.
Mm. Jota, is that more than everybody else combined?
Yeah, Jota has 8.
Okay.
Darwin has 8.
Yes.
Mo has 7 and Cody has 6.
Okay.
What is that?
Wow.
Crazy when you consider how many more minutes Mo plays.
Yeah. Well, and there's more played.
He must have had close to as many minutes as Jota, Nunes and Firmino combined.
I can't believe that Nunes has only got 8.
Crazy. There's loads right on the edge of the 6-yard box.
All right. Okay.
But Mo only had 2 against Bournemouth, and then he didn't have any more until April.
Mad.
What? Mad.
So, Mo, just to finish off,
there's our season in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Just season review done.
Well, no, just to finish off, my thoughts are that I think the season's been a disaster from June, not even before the season started. And I think that if we'd have got away with the Champions League, I think it might have allowed too many people to think, oh, look, we got the Champions League, everything's okay. But now there's nowhere to hide. There's a lot of money. There's going to be a big revenue drop. And so we need to cut our cloth accordingly, which is going to help with rebuilds and clearing out players who maybe who are earning too much money for their talent levels and their age. So I think in the long run it's going to be a good thing, but we do need to learn lessons from it. And I think it's probably, I think for, in the long run, I think it's for the best.
I said that the other day. I wasn't quite sure how to take that. I was like, surely you would prefer top 4, even if we can still analyse the.
No, I think it would have been allowed to maybe say, well, status quo, everything's fine, you know, great job, everybody.
But wouldn't that then suggest a level of recency bias on behalf of the people within the club that we don't want? We want an objective breakdown, don't we? We don't need people to go, the result was good, but the performance until the start of April was abysmal. We're not going to recognise that. We're going to say, right, we scraped top 4 again.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that would have happened, but you know, based on last summer, I can't be sure that was going to happen. So
I get what you're saying, Darth. I mean, Klopp said after the game that the last run doesn't change his opinion. Like, he's already made a decision to recruit for this summer. Do you know what I mean? He said that, but I do get what you're saying. I think I said to you as well, my worry was letting in a club like Newcastle with that amount of money is how hard is it going to be to get back in the top 4?
Yeah,
that's my worry going forward. Because you've now got Arsenal, probably the weakest out of those 4 in there, financially speaking. United are now back in the top 4. Newcastle are in City, and we know how much money they've got to spend.
Man United is still losing ridiculous amounts of money.
I'm just saying it's, you give top 4 to those kind of teams with that kind of money, and if you've got the right structure, it could happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get back.
Yeah, but we weren't going to get back unless we learned our lessons.
For sure. Right. I know, it's a catch-22, right? I'm not saying I disagree with you. It's just one of those where you're like, ugh.
So I would say short-term pain for long-term gain.
Yes, I hope so.
But if we were in this, if we were in the statistical group analysing our season to do a report for the people above us, surely we all would say that tactically and transfer wise we were pretty abysmal until April, and now we've found something.
Yeah,
would that change our interpretation? Anyway, we should do this on the
We'll do an off-season review.
Yeah.
We should do this.
Anyway, that has been your Under Pressure podcast for this week. We will be back after the final game of the season at Southampton. Until then, up the Reds.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.